Okay. My name is Larry Gillette, the chairperson for the Alarm Security and Licensing Board. I'd like to call this meeting in order at this time. The time now is 9 o'clock a.m., March 3rd, 2016. And the meeting is being held in room 475 of the Heber Wells Building, Salt Lake City, Utah. Notice of this meeting was provided as requested in the Utah Open Meetings Law. In compliance with the Utah Open Meetings Law, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. The recording will be posted to the Utah Public Notice website no later than 3 days following the day and following the meeting. In compliance with Utah Open Meetings Law, minutes will be prepared of this meeting and will be posted to the Utah Public website no later than 3 business days after approval. The following board members are in compliance: myself, Sandy Hendrickson, William LaRochelle, Troy Iverson. Okay, the following board members are absent, and that is Michael Howell. Okay, the following representatives from Valpo and the Department of Commerce are in attendance, and we've got Jana Johansson, field manager. We've got Yvonne King, our board secretary. Tyler, I'm going to try it. Thank you,
yep.
Tyler. Compliance. And we've also got Brandy Rigby, also with compliance. We welcome any visitors. No visitors. Okay. At this time, be sure to sign the attendance roll in the back of the room, if there's any. As courtesy to everyone participating in this meeting, at this time, I ask that all cell phones, pagers, and other electronic devices be turned off or changed to silent mode. Board members, or board motions of votes will be recorded in the minutes. Let us now proceed with the agenda. And that's right here. Okay, we signed the per diem. Okay, we need to approve the minutes from the last month.
This is Bill Rochelle. I make a motion that we approve the minutes as written.
Sandy Henderson and I second that motion.
Okay, that's first and second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? None. Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, let's see, we've done that. And now let's go with Tyler and compliance and see how things are going in your end of the.
Things are going pretty well. We do have one that is having trouble following his complete stipulation order, William Bullock. So we just wanted to bring this to your attention. Most likely we will have him come before the board next meeting. A part of the stipulation is to have his monthly reports due on the first or before. We've been receiving those. However, we have not been receiving a receipt of $200, which is a part of the stipulation, which is required to pay back the pending restitution to Workforce Services. And that was due also on the first of each month. Just a little bit of a history so you kind of understand what I've been doing. On December 1st, we had his first initial intake. On the 18th, I received his receipt of MOU from his employer, which is a required document, which is fine. On the 18th, received his first employer report. On the 6th of January, I left him a voicemail. Actually, on the 6th, 7th, and 21st, I left him a voicemail regarding the missing receipt. On the 22nd, I received his employer report due on February 1st. He did have a below average reporting from his employer, but it said that he's getting better as a comment. And then on February 2nd and March 2nd, I left him another voicemail as well about the $200 receipt. I received no contact from him. So I'll speak with Jana, and we can, you know, go forward with maybe a 10-day letter to respond or anything like that. But we just wanted you to be aware. He's kind of the only one that we might be struggling just a little bit with. I mean, we are getting the employee reports in, but the receipt is another aspect of his. So
does it look like he's paid anything towards his restitution?
To be honest, I haven't looked into that. I can double check with Workforce Services and make sure, especially before the next board's meeting, that we can have an actual receipt from them, even if he does come in with receipts. But that's a great idea.
Yeah, just so we kind of know before we go in.
Yeah.
Landing.
Yeah.
Well, and with him, he was licensed and on probation before. He decided to let his license go, and so he was not on probation for a while, and this is the second time he decided to come back, and you guys allowed him to go back onto probation. And then from remembering from reading it, he had issues with the payments in the first probation as well.
Yeah.
on his voicemail that actually voicemail? Like his
it does. It does say Bill.
Right, correct.
Yep. And so that's kind of been a, yeah, kind of an assurance that I am reaching him. Right. And I've even asked, you know, if it is after hours, if he's working all day, to just leave me a voicemail with an update. And I haven't received that as well. So.
Do you know if you have an up-to-date address?
We haven't sent him anything to kind of correlate with that, but everything that we do pull is from MLO. And what we also have a probationer information sheet that I took in with the intake, which had his address on, and he signed the back page stating that everything is correct on here. So that was December 1st, so I would assume so. But
and he's still working for Angus Controls?
His last employee report was Angus Controls, yeah. Or Angus, I'm sorry, Controls, yeah.
Have you tried texting him?
I have not.
A lot of people don't answer voicemail.
Yeah.
It might be just an
And it's another electronic thing, maybe a letter and a voicemail.
Okay.
And see how that goes. Maybe even contact his employer and see what's going on.
He is responsible for getting in touch with us.
Oh, he definitely is. Yeah, we'll give him every, we'll give him every, you know, benefit of the doubt. But, yeah, it's his responsibility ultimately, but I want to give him every chance to. So, anyway, okay.
Yeah.
That's the only one?
Yeah.
Well, Rick.
We whipped him into shape, so.
When are you leaving?
My last week will most likely be the end of April, and then I leave internationally May 30th. So,
boy,
yeah,
short.
Yeah.
Keep your head
over.
Yeah. Who's going to take over? Are you going to take over for Tyler in compliance, or do you know yet?
I don't know. I haven't been told yet if I'm taking on this board or not.
It could be.
I mean, you did an excellent job while you were asleep. No, we won't have you back again. We won't meet before you're gone, will we?
Yeah, I'm not sure when the next one is.
May.
So that'll be my last.
You are going
to. Last one.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you for everything. Okay, we'll continue on with the agenda. We want to do the board training now, so.
I'm just going to read the policy. We had a little bit of media with other boards, and so we're just letting everyone know.
Smart.
Go ahead, have a seat. After you've signed in. No, just back there. No. You may not need first phone call.
Okay, so the Department of Commerce is committed to the dissemination of factual information in a timely, professional, fair, and organized fashion. The department has developed a media policy that applies not only to employees of the department, but also to boards and commissions. It is important to remember that the media and the public often do not distinguish an individual's viewpoint from that board, division, or department's viewpoint. Additionally, boards may be called upon to act as fact finders and to issue recommended orders in cases involving a licensee. If board members discuss a particular case with the media, they may be disqualified from being able to fulfill their duties during a formal hearing. Therefore, it's important for board members to use caution when speaking publicly or to the media when the topic is related to the occupation or profession regulated by the board. The key is, without prior authorization, you are not authorized to make public statements if the statement could reasonably be interpreted to state a position of the department, discuss the work of the department, or use a position with the department as a basis for the expertise of the contact. This includes statements, graphics, text, or the like posted to the internet, e.g. social networking sites, blogs, etc. Keep in mind that all media contact must be approved in advance, and unsolicited media contact should be referred to the department's public information officer. Her name is Jennifer Bolton. If you have any questions about discussing any matter with the media, please contact the Bureau Manager, the department's PIO, the division's director, or the department's executive director for counsel and advice. And we are always open. Any of those people will gladly speak with you if you have an issue.
Thank you, Jenna. My comment on that is I've had a lot of media in my face with my prior background stuff. It's best not to say anything. As we all know, the firm to Doppel. And then you're out of it. So, okay, let's go on. Okay, we have our appointments here. Paul Apples? No. Okay, Jessica?
Let me see.
see if Paul is in the hall.
Oh, okay. You're Jessica, is that correct? Okay. Person Davidson.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we go on with Jessica then. Jessica, would you have a seat here now? Jessica, my name is Larry Gillette. This is Jana Johansson, our bureau manager, and she will be going over your case, and then we'll have some questions for you, and you can make a statement also. Okay?
Jessica is applying for burglar alarm licensure. She answered yes to two of the 12 questions on the qualifying questionnaire. On September 18, 2013, she pled guilty to retail theft, shoplifting, and Class B misdemeanor. She was ordered to pay a $548 fine, must complete a theft course, and placed on 12-month probation. On January 23, 2014, she was found in contempt and her probation was revoked and reinstated. And on March 9, 2015, she was found in contempt and her probation was revoked and reinstated. This case was closed February 18th of 2016. Pardon me. On October 23, 2013, Jessica entered into a plea of abeyance and a charge of possession or use of a controlled substance, and it was dismissed. She was found guilty of driving on a revocation of a license, a Class C misdemeanor, and no proof of insurance, a Class B misdemeanor. She was ordered to pay a $1,450 fine, served 30 days or 14 days work diversion, and placed on probation for 22 months. Jessica failed to appear for her review hearing and was ordered to serve an additional 59 days. As of March 2nd, I could find no indication that that case had been closed. And on June 25th, 2014, Jessica pled no contest to retail theft to Class A misdemeanor. She was ordered to pay a $750 fine, placed on 12 months probation, and required to complete a Level 2 thinking errors class. This case was closed in July of 2015.
Okay. Jessica, tell me about what happened on this first retail theft back in 2013. Where was that at and what did you think?
That was at Winco in Orem. That whole 2 years of my life was a bad period, you know. A lot of people make a lot of mistakes when they're that age, you know. I was without my medication and, you know, I thought I was invincible and that nothing could touch me, and I just was young and naive and didn't want to take care of anything. I wasn't ever taught how to be a responsible adult, you know, so I was figuring things out for myself and making a lot of mistakes on the way, a lot of the same mistakes, which is probably the biggest concern, is that they were all repetitive and similar and not learning from them. But I think the biggest thing in my defense is that it's been 2 years since I've been in jail. You know, I've paid off almost all of my court fines. That one that you said that you weren't sure is closed. The only one I have open is a driving on no insurance in Salt Lake that they took forever to figure out what to sentence me with, because they were so packed. So I just barely got sentenced on it last year, even though it was like from 2-3 years ago. But I think the main thing is that it was a long time ago. I know it was stupid. I know it was a mistake, and I don't plan on doing anything like that ever again.
How old were you back then, 13, when
I think I was 18.
At least 18.
Yeah, I'm about to turn 22 in the next week. So,
what did you take there?
Just groceries. You know, it was like all my favorite foods. It was stupid. I like put stickers on the barcodes, and yes, and that's why they actually charged me, is because the merchandise was, they called it ruined, because they couldn't, you know, check it out after. So that's why they charged me. And I have paid all those fines, and I have found all those classes. I have done jail time.
you know, I've made up for my mistakes, at least I feel in my part, and I just want to move on and get to a better part in my life.
Okay, you say that you've learned from that, but yet in 14 we have another retail theft. Tell me about that.
Right. So what happened is I had just gotten out of jail after those 30 days that Provo decided to sentence me on. And if you look at my thing in Provo, they pulled me over illegally and charged me with substance abuse, which it was my friend's pill bottle in her purse, and she showed them her ID and everything and told them, look, this is not her prescription, it's just mine. I don't know why you're trying to charge her with it. And I didn't want to fight it. I had too many other things going on, so I accepted it. I don't really have a substance abuse problem. But as far as the theft, I had spent 30 days in jail for this thing that I didn't even do just because they wouldn't let me pay the fine. And I had just gotten a job, even though with all of my criminal history, they were willing to still take me on. I was like, crap, I don't have anything. I had just been kicked out of my apartment. I'd lost everything. And I kind of just went in a mental spiral and was like, okay, well, what am I going to do? And so I was in Walmart and just decided to take the stuff I needed for a job, like some clothes and some hygiene stuff. It was stupid.
Yeah, because I do have a concern with this, and then pulled you over illegally. What do you mean by that?
So what happened was, it was late at night. It was like, I guess it wasn't that late. It was like 9:30, and my car that I had, it was a Volkswagen Jetta 2010, shiny red, you know, draws a lot of attention. But I had had a crash, so the front end of my car was broken, which was already, shouldn't be driving it like that. But it was the only way I had to get around, and I was living in my car at the time, so all of my possessions were in my car. And I was going to the Super 8 on Provo by the Stadium of Fire, and I was pulling into there, and I was already parked and out of the car when the cop came up behind me and said, excuse me, miss, I'm pulling you over, which is illegal. They can't use that.
Yes, they can.
They can pull you over even after you're parked.
It doesn't matter where you're at.
I was told that wasn't okay.
You were told wrong.
Okay.
It is. They can pull you over anytime and not, you know, for anything. They do have to have a probable cause to pull you over. But the probable cause is just, I'm thinking of it, just what you told me, was the damage to your vehicle. Maybe it just happened 5 minutes ago.
Right.
Or it was a month ago. Also, what kind of damage did that do to your lights and things like this?
Yeah, my light was damaged and stuff.
See, there you go.
Right.
So,
but
it wasn't an illegal pullover, okay?
Well,
go ahead. You had something else?
Well, I guess, I mean, I still take responsibility for that, even though in my mind I didn't feel like it was fair. Because I thought that it was an illegal pullover, but you saying that it was, I mean, honestly, I don't care, because I have already, you know, I was doing something wrong, whether it was legal or not, you know. I was driving without, you know, the front half of my car, you know.
Yeah.
And,
okay, this girl you said that the pills belonged to, was she with you?
Yeah, she was with me. She had her ID. She tried to show him, and they just ignored it. And they said that it was mine.
When you went to court, did you ask for a public defender?
I did have a public defender, and he said that he told me it would be easier to just drop it and say no contest than to just try and fight it, even though I had proof. But
I'm sorry about that. Sometimes they just...
Well, I mean, I had so many other cases that it wasn't a big deal, you know. I
you spent 30 days in jail.
Yeah.
You know, so that was cool.
Because he didn't want, because I had missed court. I had missed court,
yeah.
And he was
yeah.
sick of me not coming and showing because I, you know, I didn't care. I didn't know any better, and, you know, and he wasn't wanting to wait for me to pay that fine, so he just had me, you know, pay the fine by being in jail, you know.
What we generally do in cases like this, and precedents that we set, and that is we go at least 2 years from the date of, on a retail theft, you've got two of them, so it's not looking real good for you, one in 13 and one in 14, and the other problems that you've had and things like that. Now, June of 14 is June of 16, and before we even look at it, and that would be without any aggravating circumstances at all, and you have a lot of aggravating circumstances in this case. So you may have been clean for almost 2 years, but we've set this up, and I know that none of us want to be up there explaining to the governor why we didn't maintain what we had set up in the past. And if you do something wrong, it's going to come back on us and the company that you want to work for. Who are you going to go to work for?
It's AMP Security.
What are you going to be doing with them?
It's door-to-door sales, selling the burglar alarm thing.
Mm-hmm. See, so you're going to be in and out of people's homes and things like that. And frankly, we just got to make sure that we're not going to turn you loose on society and that there's going to be a problem. That's our job, is to make sure we try to protect society. In the news lately, law enforcement hasn't done a very good job of that.
And I do understand the concern, and it may seem a little odd, but I have a very big aversion to stealing from other people. I mean, that may sound really stupid because I have those theft charges, but I would never take something from someone that they've had to work hard for. And I know that sounds stupid to corporations, but...
Well, it doesn't sound stupid. The only problem is, though, is when you do take something, you are taking it from all of us, because then they have to raise their prices because of that loss. So actually, you are stealing from me and everyone here in this room, including yourself, because the next time you go in and you decide to pay for it, you're going to pay more. And so you are stealing from all of us, because that's what happens. They raise their prices. So. Any questions? More questions from the board?
You asked the ones I wanted.
Oh, okay. Like I said, I do have concerns with this, and it hasn't been the 2 years our standard with the aggravating circumstances. I'm going to open it up for
this is Bill Rochelle. I make a motion that we deny licensure at this time to Jessica Pearson Dixon.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Mr. Ryerson, I'll second that motion.
Okay, first and second. Any discussion?
Maybe I'll come at the time. I mean,
I know the time is the big problem. And both of them within a year of each, or well, not a year, 2 years of each other, concerns all of us and the other arrest and things like this. I feel that you probably have turned your life around, but I want to make sure. I want a little more time before, you know, we're going to issue you a license. So this does not stop you from reapplying, but I'd make it well after June of 16. Okay? Okay, call for a vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for your time and good luck. I'm sure that no matter what you do, I think you'll succeed in it. Okay?
Hello.
You're Paul?
I am Paul.
Okay. All right. I don't know if you heard me. Janet is going to go over the case we have.
Paul, how do I say your last name?
It's Apple. It's been mistaken since Apple, since I was in kindergarten. Apple's in the name, and it's what I got. Apple is the correct pronunciation.
Paul Apple is applying for burglar alarm licensure. He answered yes to 4 of the 12 questions on the qualifying questionnaire. In May 2013, he pled guilty to possession or use of a controlled substance, a Class B misdemeanor, and interference with an arresting officer, also a Class B misdemeanor. He was ordered to pay a $1,246 fine, make timely payments, no alcohol or drug use, and probation for 12 months. He had multiple failures to comply orders issued due to not making timely payments, and his probation was restarted in September of 2014. The case was closed in June of 2015. On March 22, 2012, Mr. Apples pled guilty to possession of drug paraphernalia, a Class C misdemeanor, He entered a plea in abeyance and was ordered to pay a fine of $679. He was placed on probation for 12 months and required to complete a treatment course. This case was closed in May of 2012, although the completion of treatment course paperwork was not filed until March 25th of 2013. On October 5th, 2012, Mr. Eagles pled guilty to purchase, possess, consume by a minor a Class B misdemeanor. He entered a plea in advance and was ordered to pay a fine of $300 and complete an underage drinking program. Did not complete the underage drinking program and the plea in advance was removed. He was fined an additional $50 and his driver's license was suspended for 1 year. The case was terminated unsuccessfully in November of 2012. On October 12, 2011, Mr. Eagles pled guilty to possession or use of a controlled substance, a Class B misdemeanor, and possession of drug paraphernalia, a Class B misdemeanor. He entered a plea in abeyance and the drug paraphernalia charge was dismissed. He was ordered to pay a $623 fine and 12 months of supervised by the court probation. That case was closed in November of 2012.
Okay. Paul, this is kind of disturbing also on your part with all of these drug problems.
So,
let me jump back real quick. The first one was in 2011. How old were you?
I was 17, about to turn 18. I just moved out of my mom's place, and I was living in South Ogden, and I had a roommate, and I was just moving my stuff back and forth real late, and I was actually riding a bike, because I wasn't driving at the time. I was riding a bike from South Ogden to Riverdale, where my mom lived, and I didn't have, like, anything on me. It was just, like, a little box that just had, like, it looked like sand in it, basically. But I was riding my bike, and I got pulled over, and the cop asked me if I had anything in my bag. I told him, no, you know, you can search. And he opened it, and I guess there was, like, a little bit of paraphernalia in there, and he charged me with possession.
What was the paraphernalia?
It was weed. It was weed. And, I mean, like I said, there was, like, sand in there. There wasn't even, I guarantee it didn't even weigh anything. And he charged me for that. And, I mean, I own up to everything I did. I mean, I lost my dad when I was 12. There's no excuse for that. And, I mean, after that happened, I was going into the seventh grade. And I feel like that's kind of when everything changed for me. I started hanging around the wrong crowd and started to get involved in drugs and kind of alcohol at a young age. I mean, I was 18, still in high school. And, I mean, I'm glad I was able to kind of take care of everything when I was able to, just because my life was kind of spiraling out of control at that point.
Okay. But I mean, 11, 12, 12, 13, you're involved in all of these different drug paraphernalia and controlled substance and... Okay, what has gone on since 13? Actually, well, cases haven't closed until like 15 was the last one. And are you free and clear of probation now?
Yeah, I'm free and clear. And
all of your fines?
Yeah, and that's really weird because Jeff Renstrom was my judge in Riverdale, and it was tough going back to him two or three times for the same exact thing. And he told me, he said, look, Paul, if something like this happens to you again, you're going through the full probation, full court, full everything. And I was like, you know, Jeff Renstrom, I don't need treatment. I'm not addicted to this. And he believed me. He actually didn't order me to go through any drug classes. Everything that I did, I completed. I've always had a full-time job. I may have missed payments maybe two or three times, but I had to go back into court and say, hey, this is my situation, and I've always been good on my payments, and I've always paid everything off. But yeah, I mean, there is definitely a history of it. I definitely own up to it. It was a long time ago, and I'm working on getting this expunged. I just got back from Hawaii. I was selling door-to-door for Alerta. It's a local company in Hawaii. I mean, I love my job. I love serving the people. I'm really good at what I do, and I've been doing it for a long time. It's just that I want to be able to do it where I live. You know, I've grown up here my whole life, and I just want to be able to be home and you know, go door to door.
And he didn't have any new charges since the 13th.
Yeah,
since that. Here in Utah or
yeah.
in
so why requires? So why require a
they
civil license?
Yeah, they did a background check, so they sent me a DocuSign, and the same with Vivint Protection, so, like any other company. I mean, they do all the background stuff, and I got my badge, and I was selling door to door. I was out there for a year, and I've sold over 40 accounts.
Okay. If we decide to go forward with this, it's up to not just me, but it's up to the entire board, maybe possibly a probationary license with drug testing. Would you agree to that?
Definitely, most definitely. I know that I have to prove myself. I know my past shows a completely different person of who I am now. And so I would be willing to do whatever I need to do to prove to you guys that, you know, I am worthy and that I can serve the people and be out in society as you know, a normal citizen. So I think that would be perfect, whatever I would need to do.
Okay, well, that's not an offer. I mean, it's up to the board and stuff. Jenna, I apologize. I didn't even ask you on the last case. What's your feeling on this case?
I think there's no history between 13 and 16, so I think having a drug test is an extra, in my opinion, an unneeded step because he has nothing in between. You know, if he had something more recent, then maybe, but that's just my opinion.
Who are you applying for? What are you?
You're going to be doing sales for them?
Yes, sir.
And if I remember right, they do require drug testing
for
their sales reps, and starting in, and I think they do random as well.
Yeah,
there we go.
Which kind of takes care of that. If you have that, then they won't get in the job.
The testing through us is $75 a month.
It's hard. It's hard on them, and it just concerns me that if Vivint is going to do it,
they do.
And which a lot of companies do anymore, which is very smart.
I'm looking at the timing on this slide.
I am too. That's why I'm...
This bill, or shall I make a motion that we approve Paul Aples for licensure?
Sandy Henderson, I'll second that motion.
Okay, I've had first and second. Any more discussion? No, we'll call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. You've got to get the gap, I'll give you that. You know, not bad in any way, because you do have a good command of the English language, and I think you really will do well.
I appreciate that. That's exactly what my mom said. So hey, I believe it now.
Yeah, you do. And so anyway, okay, you've been approved.
So your license will be processed through, and then within the next few days it'll go out to you in the mail. After probably Monday, you can verify online that your license is approved. Probably won't show up tomorrow because our system is not live. It will be very soon.
Okay. I appreciate you guys so much. I just want to say that I got into this alarm industry, and it's definitely changed my life. It's definitely not because of the money. The money is a great outcome, but just like you said, it's helping me better me as a person. It helps me communicate with people and be around, you know, really high class people. So that's why I do this job, and I really do appreciate you guys for approving this for me. It's huge for me. I appreciate it because I talked to Darlene 2 years ago. I emailed her some information, and she's like, "Paul, you need to bring me the documents physically." And you know, it's 2 years later, and I'm still fighting and trying to get this approved. So it's been a long process, and I really appreciate it. I really do.
I think you're going to be fine. I think you're going to do good, and don't ever come back in here with us again. But if you do get into trouble, do not do what other people have done and just forget to notify their company and Doppel.
Okay?
I'm not talking about simple traffic tickets, things like this.
Right.
I'm talking about arrests, any kind of a drug misdemeanor type thing, or you know, stuff like that.
Yes.
Let your employer know and let Doppel know.
Yes,
it's better to err on the side of caution.
Right.
You know,
right.
If they say, "Well, that's no big deal," then it's no big deal. But at least you covered yourself. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very
much. Thank you, guys. Okay. I appreciate it. You guys have a great.
You too. I'd like to make one addition to the record, and that is that Pamela Bennett Investigations has joined our meeting. Right at the end.
I have some emails that I could not get out of.
Excuse
me. Anything you need to bring up to us while you're here?
No.
No?
Did you enjoy your class?
I actually
really enjoyed that class, and in fact, I learned a lot.
Did you get your results back yet?
No, I just did the paper one.
I know. They should be coming back to you pretty quick.
Yeah. I haven't received it there yet.
Okay.
I think I passed.
You did very well in the class. Is that anyone wants to bring up?
Actually, I do. I received a call from, do you remember Paul's last name? That's terrible. He's a gentleman from Comcast. He's their license and compliance officer across the country. He's also their qualifying agent for Utah, even though he's in Florida. Anyways, he's trying to get his company's in-house class approved as an equivalent of the level one training or the applications portion of the test, as the equivalent. He sent me an outline of the course, you know, just the glossary of the course or the outline of the course with absolutely no content whatsoever, so I can't tell what's in the course or what's not. Until I actually see the course, I wouldn't have a recommendation for the board one way or the other. My concern is that, you know, it's an in-house training, you know, developed by a company for their equipment only. You know, they're going to be doing residential, but if we issue a license, they could be doing anything, you know, once that has issued. So without really knowing, you know, what's in that course, I couldn't recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd have to run that through a double anyway.
I don't know who would approve that, but, you know, without seeing that content, I have no way of recommending one way or another.
Yeah, it'd have to be run through JANA, and then it'd have to go to the Construction Trades Board for approval. Before it would ever be approved. Yeah, we would look at it here,
you know, but
we wouldn't make the approval. That's through them and the attorneys up there and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'll see if I can get him to send me the content. It's going to be proprietary, so he may not want to send it to me. But, you know, if he doesn't, I'm going to tell him to go ahead and contact you, Jenna.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
Okay.
Let him know, though, that people are going to have to look at it and evaluate it in order for it to be approved.
Oh, yeah. That's what I told him. He said he'd send it to me. He sends me the outline of the course. Well, okay, that looks good. It's a check mark next to, you know, yeah, it's equivalent to the ESA course. You know, so.
Yeah, it tells you nothing, really. Okay, our next meeting is May 5th. Nobody else got anything? We'll go ahead and adjourn. The time is 9:38.